No, I thought I was lonely when I was single. But being away for a week from my wife, the loneliest I've ever been.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Harder than you think. But that being said, I'm really glad to be here. I'm happy. I enjoy being here. I enjoy being back, seeing all of y'all. You know, it's good whenever you see everybody back together. You know, you see the missionaries that are out in Poland, missionaries that gone to Mexico, and the whole church gets together. You know, it's a good feeling seeing everybody that's here. And I like being back. I enjoy y'all's company. I just enjoy my wife's company a little bit more. But I'm excited. I'm going home today, so I'm excited about that. But thank y'all for your prayers, your support. Thank you for the meals, the men and women that have been preparing this week. Been good meals, and I thank you for the time y'all put into it. And I pray that the Lord will bless y'all here too. And thank you for your prayers, and I pray you keep praying for me and for our work, our ministry. I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, I want to speak about two real appointments that we have. Two real events that are going to happen. And you know, this is not a happy subject to touch on. This isn't something that everybody likes to hear and we all want to just get around and talk about death and judgment, you know. It's a kind of touchy subject. You know, nobody wants to talk about death. We don't like the idea that we're going to die. It's not fun to think about. It's not fun to think about judgment. Nobody likes to be judged. Nobody likes to, you know, all the focus come down on what you did and judge what you've done. We don't like that. But nevertheless, we cannot afford to ignore these two events. We can't just say, you know, since nobody likes to talk about them, let's just not talk about them. Let's just ignore them. We can't afford to do that. So I'm going to talk about these two appointments we have. And you know, once we've accepted these two events, these two truths, then they should have an impact on our life. If you've accepted that you're going to die, and you've accepted that there's going to be a judgment on you, these two events should have an impact on your life. So first I want to talk to those who are lost. Those who don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior and they're not saved, they're not sure. Maybe they've just not looked for God. Maybe they're not interested in God. Or maybe they've been looking for God and just haven't found Him yet. But first, I want to talk to y'all about these two events, how they should have an effect on your life. First, the first one he talks about is it is appointed unto man once to die. This means there's no escaping it. You know, nobody's going to get out of death. Nobody's going to avoid that one. You know, and this isn't a hard thing to you know, prove. This isn't something like we're all like, oh, really? We're not going to escape death? Everybody knows they're going to die. You see it, it's an event in everybody's life. The reason you don't know your great-great-great-grandpa is because he died. And everybody that's come before you has died. And so we all know death is going to come. And this should influence us. This should have an impact on our life. It should affect us. The way it should affect us, it should cause a change of priority. You know, the fact that you're not going to live forever means you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do. Means you gotta prioritize, you gotta say, some things are more important than others. Some things are more valuable than others, and you gotta prioritize. But thinking about your death should change your priorities. Right now, most people, especially in America, we live for money. We live for riches. We live for wealth. You know, it seems like if you're not saved, if you don't have Christ, that's the greatest thing to live for, to get rich. We think, you know, being rich brings the most respect. Being, you know, having a nice car, having a nice house, it's the best thing in life. But once you realize you're going to die, money becomes not that important. Because your money is going to perish with you. Once you die, your money's gone. That's what Job basically said. He said, you know, I came into this world naked, and naked I'm going to leave. You didn't bring anything into this world, and you're not going to take anything with you. So all of a sudden, money doesn't seem that important. You know, money basically, in my opinion, just causes more problems. You know, it's good to have money, you know, to pay what you have to pay. But too much money just causes problems. The more money you have, the more afraid of losing it you are. The more money you have, the more you have to invest in banks so that they can watch it. The more money you have, the more your children are going to go fight over it when you're dead. I think it just causes problems. Too much money? That's not the priority in life. Money is not what we're all looking for or what we should be looking for. Pleasures. We think, oh, that's what I want to live for, pleasures. But you know, that's not reasonable thinking because no matter how fun you have in your life, there's always going to be troubles. If you're alive, you're going to go through troubles. No matter how much you work on just having pleasure all the time, you're going to have troubles. So pleasure shouldn't be the priority. And you know, this is what lost people are wondering. What are we doing here? What are we looking for? What do we do with our life? Nobody knows. But the Bible tells us what we should be looking for. What our priority is. And that says in Isaiah chapter 55, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's your priority. See, you've got a limited amount of time in your life. And what you should do with this time is seek the Lord. Amen. Find God. But you see, this is something you have to do. You have to seek, he says. Seek the Lord. Most people are just waiting around wanting God to come to them. Nobody wants to take the effort to seek God. But it says you have to seek the Lord while he can be found. This implies some heart, some work, some diligence. You need to get into it. Not only do you have to seek, but it's talking about urgency. Because you're going to die, it's urgent that you seek God. This isn't something we can just put off. And you know, that's what I've seen the biggest problem in people's life isn't that they're not looking for God. Or isn't that they don't believe in God. What I've really seen on the streets preaching is that most people believe there's a God and wouldn't mind looking for Him, but they just think, not now. You know, most people, I believe in God. I want to know God. I'm just not interested right now. They're waiting for their deathbed. They're waiting to say, when the doctor tells me you have 6 weeks to live, then I'll start looking for God. And that's how most people think. But, see, you don't have a certain date that you're going to die. You don't know when 6 months or 6 weeks you're going to die. You could be leaving today after church and get in a car wreck and your life is gone. No more chance, no more opportunity. So it's urgent that you seek the Lord. This isn't something we can just fool around with. It might not even be your fault. The guy that's on the other side of the lane might come onto your lane and hit you accidentally. And you weren't even expecting it. But your life is gone that fast. And you were thinking, I did want to seek the Lord. I did want to find God. I was just waited a little too long. Death makes seeking God urgent. Can't wait around for this. Death should have an impact on your life. If you're not saved, you should understand that you don't have all the time in the world. That you need to get things straight as fast as you can, as soon as possible. Then there's another one, he says, wants to die. You know, it's interesting to me that that here in this verse, he makes judgment just as certain as death. You know, a lot of people actually think, well, they know they're going to die, but they don't really believe in the judgment. But in this verse, he's saying, look, as certain as you are of death, the truth is you know you're going to die. That's how much you should know that there's going to be a judgment for you. As certain you are of death is how certain you should be that you're going to be judged when you die. That God is going to one day judge you. You should be certain of this. This isn't something we should just think, oh, well, maybe it's going to happen, maybe not. It's as certain as death, you're going to be judged. You think you're going to live 60, 70 years, do all the horrible things you do, do the wicked things you do, all these murders, all these thieves, and you think they're just going to die and get away with it? No. God's going to judge. And this should have an effect on your life. This should provoke an impact. This should make you realize you got to get straight. You got to get right with God. You know, sin has caused a great division between you and God. God cannot be with you if you're in sin. And God cannot live for eternity with you if you're in sin. And that's why God is going to judge you according to your works. And according to the Bible, everybody's works are evil. We've all done evil. We've all been bad. Nobody is good. There is none good. And that means we're all going to be condemned. That means in the judgment, you know what the result is. You're wicked. You're wrong. That means you deserve condemnation. This should bring fear in you. Judgment, thinking about judgment, should provoke us to fear. Should provoke you, if you're not saved, to fear God. Doesn't Jesus say, why do you fear men? Why do you fear those that can hurt the body? You shouldn't fear them. You should fear the one who has the power to destroy your soul and body in hell. Fear the one that really, truly has power.
Amen.
Why should you fear judgment, this judgment so much? It's because this determines your future. And that judgment, that one judgment, God is going to decide what's going to happen to you for all eternity. I don't know, but that's a little scary, you know, to think about that. And to think, you know, what I have to do is live perfectly the rest of my life, or since I was born, live perfectly. You know, that brings fear because you know you can't do it. But what these two events should do in your life, if you're lost, they should draw you to God, draw you to Christ. Because you're going to die, there's no exception, and there's going to be a judgment, there's no exception, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it by yourself. No matter what you do, you're not going to be able to escape it. And so it should bring you to Christ, because what Christ did is He died for you, died in your place, and He brought your sin upon His shoulders. And all you need to do to get ready to prepare for that judgment is believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him as your Lord. Believe that He did die for you, that His death can pay for your sins, can pay for everything you've done, and you can be saved, and you can look to that judgment and not be afraid, but say, whenever God judges me, I'm going to have Christ as my lawyer. And Christ is going to be the one that steps in for me and says, I've paid all his sins. If you're not lost, then these two events should impact your life and they should draw you to God. Draw you to Christ. Make you believe in Jesus Christ. You can be saved today. But you know, after we get saved, we think about death, we think about judgment, it draws us to Christ. We finally believe in Jesus Christ. We think, okay, I'm saved. And these two events, we kind of forget them. But these two events still apply to us, you know. Now I want to talk to those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior. We've got confused priorities. A lot of us. We're not living for the things we should be living for. I mean, doesn't the Bible say we're not from here? We're pilgrims. This is not our home. But we're not living that way. We're really not living that way. We're living like this is our home. This is what we want to. This is what's valuable to us. But you know, all the Paul and in Hebrews it talks about the men of faith. They were looking for another place. They were looking forward to the new earth, the earth where we're from. That's what they were looking for. So it should change our priorities. We should get our priorities straight. If we're mindful of death, I wonder how that would change our life. How that would have an impact on the way we live. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would be your priority? Now, if you're saved, I doubt your priority would be go have some fun tonight. If you're truly saved, I think your priority would be, I got to tell the gospel to my loved ones one last time. You understand what the priorities are. You understand that the gospel is the priority. You know it. But sometimes we forget about death, and we don't live according to this mind that we're going to die. We think, I have all the time I want to be able to witness to my friends and family. I have all the time in the world to start preaching one day. But that's not true. What if you knew you were going to die in, let's say, 15 years? Would you change at all? I think you would. I think you'd say, you know what, okay, I'm going to die in 15 years. I got to get with it. If we were mindful of death, we would probably change. Our change would be, we need to get the gospel out. We need to prioritize. What's important is that I get the gospel out. And that's because you know you're going to die, and you won't have another chance to do it. You know that man, that rich man, and Lazarus, that rich man died, and after he was dead, he really wanted somebody to go tell his brothers, but it was too late. And after you're dead, whether you're in heaven or in hell, it's going to be too late to go tell the others. No more chances. So if you want to get the gospel out to somebody, if there's somebody you desire to hear the gospel, you need to do it before you die. And this is urgent too, because you don't know when you're going to die. So I'd say go do it today. Go do it as soon as you can. But not just, imagine if we didn't just have the mind that we're going to die. But imagine if we started thinking everybody is going to die. That one soul, that your partner, your workers at your work, your school, whatever, classmates they call them, they're gonna die. And if you had that mindset, they're gonna die, maybe you'd tell them the gospel. Maybe you'd give them the gospel. I just think, if I thought a little bit more about death, I'd get my priorities straight. So we need to be mindful of death and get our priorities straight. But you know, judgment also has an impact on our life. Christians are not living the way we should be living. I mean, in all ways. I'm not talking about just not giving the gospel. I'm talking about sin. You know, I didn't live the way I should have been living when I lived with my dad and mom. Even though they raised me right, my dad judged me a lot, I still wasn't living the way I should. But if I had been mindful a little bit more about, you know, if I had been thinking, you know, if I get home and Dad finds out, he's going to judge me and he's going to spank me. I probably would have done a whole lot less of things that I did do. And this is the way I think it should impact our lives. You know, one day we're going to be judged. And what Christ says is, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians is, every work is going to be made manifest. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me. Every single thing I did, you're going to be brought out to light. Everybody's going to see it. Oh, if I thought about that more often, I'd live a lot better. That changed my life. Thinking about judgment. This should provoke us to fear, you know? This is what Peter says, that our time of sojourning should be in fear. Because there's going to be a judgment. Because you're going to get, or you're going to lose, some of the things you're going to do. What you do, your work is going to be tried, and it's going to be tried by fire, and you might just suffer loss. So that should bring us to fear, and maybe we'd live a little differently. But judgment, not just I'm talking about, you know, thinking of my dad spanking me. Because sometimes I would think, you know, dad's going to spank me if he finds out. But it's worth it. You know, some sins, some things you do, you think, no, it's worth it. Lena did something to me, I'm going to get her back. Dad's going to spank me, but it's worth it. I'm going to get Lena back. But you know what really scares me? What I'm really afraid of? There are some sins I never did. I never drank beer in my life. Mostly because my dad always said he'd never drink beer. And I didn't want to disappoint him. You know, there's something worse than a spanking. That's disappointing your dad. What if when I get to heaven, God says, I'm disappointed in you? You know, all those things I lose, or, you know, embarrassment, might not affect me as much as thinking God might just be ashamed, disappointed in you. That scares me. In that judgment, God is going to see, manifest, show all that we've done. He just might be disappointed in me and in you. And I never drank because I was always mindful of, I don't want to disappoint my dad. I don't want to disappoint. I wasn't thinking in, you know, consequences. Oh, drinking is going to give me bad consequences. Mostly it was because my dad never drank, and I sure would disappoint him if I start drinking. And now I think, if I had this mindset in me, if I was mindful that I might disappoint God, amen, I might live in fear. I might live in a different way. I might change my life. I might get right with God. I might think about sin differently. I might consider sins more. Fear of disappointing. We need to be mindful of these two events. And these two events should have an impact in our life. Amen.